tonight in spirit and truth. So as we lift up our voices, we lift up your name, Jesus, and we exalt you. We give you all the glory, and we come expecting tonight. We come wanting to receive your blessing and the healing, God. We believe that you have healing for us too. So just have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him.
Let your angels fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. We will worship at your feet. Let heaven come. Face to face we want to meet. Praise and all of the honor, you are one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory. And we give you praise and all of the honor, you are the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory. God, let your presence. Let your presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. We will worship at your feet. Let heaven come. Face to face we want to meet. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory. One more time, we give you. And we give you praise and all of the honor. You are the one we live for. Praise and all of the glory. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us. Your love for us. Through the years you'll always be there. Great your faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. Oh God, my friend. Your love it never ends. And so I'll love until the end. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. We belong to you. Skies with endless praise, endless We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Yahweh. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of the night, and you tell me that you're pleased in that I. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Lord, you are
perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. To you are. To you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Filled with wonder, dark wonder at the mention of your name. Sing that again, filled with wonder. We're filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name.
Jesus.
Jesus, the name is power, breath and living water. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And holy, 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 just the voices. In the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Yeah. Let's just give a really big hand. Thank God. Give him a big hand. Praise God. Woo. Shout to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You may be seated. Are you glad to be here tonight? That was awesome worship. And I am not going to say much. I just want to introduce a few people here, and we want to welcome our friends from the river. They're from Abbotsford. So John was our worship leader tonight, and we have Mike. And there's another Mike, and there's Anna Marie, and there's a Jonathan. Jonathan played bass. There we go. So these guys took off this morning about, I think it was like 4 o'clock, right? 5 o'clock in the morning. And they drove all day long just to get here. And it was not exactly the smoothest ride from what I gather. There was a rock slide or there was something, some delay in the road a couple times, a few different times. They only got here a few minutes before the service began. But we just want to thank God. We were praying for them all day long and just praying that God would bring them here safely. And he has done that. So we're so glad that you guys are here. And we just want to get to know you. We're going to spend heaven with you guys, so we might as well get to know you a little bit here, right? And I think we're going to like you. I kind of got that feeling already, so that's a good thing. My wife looked at me this afternoon, and she said, I'm feeling kind of emotional this afternoon. And I said, so why? What's going on? And she said, well, you just think about it. These people, we don't even know them. We've only met Pam and Alf. And you know, we know them. We've spent some time with them, Crystal and I, through this past year. But we don't know these people. They got into some kind of a van. They drove all the way here all day long. And they did that for one reason, just because they love us. They don't even know us enough to love us, but they love us. They got in a car, or whatever that thing is you guys got out there with the BC license plates on it. You got in that thing. You guys drove all day long. She looked at me. She had tears in her eyes, and she says, "That just amazes me that they have that kind of love." And I just thought to myself, you know, maybe we shouldn't be trusting these people. Because, yeah, they're in me, exactly. And then I thought, you know, I just was thinking about me riding in a van from here to Abbotsford with Don Ebernall, who's not sitting here right now, so I can talk about him. I mean, just imagine. Thank you. I guess that's all I want to say. Thank you for just that sacrifice. And we just really believe, we've believed this for a long time, that you're coming here for a reason today, and you're coming here to teach us. You're coming to share Jesus. You're coming to minister and to pray with us. And we want you to know, I mean, if you just look around, there's a lot of people here. We're just ready to saturate. We're just ready to let that all soak in. Amen? So I also would like to ask Pam and Alf to stand up. So these are people who are becoming our friends. Like I said, we spent some time, Crystal and I have spent a little time with these two. And I'll just, you're going to find out how much they love the Lord. And they've been involved in ministry for most of their lives. I'm going to let them tell more of their stories, but I would like to just pray, and then I'm going to be quiet and ask God to just lead them. So, Lord God, we praise you and thank you for willing servants, for the gifts of your Holy Spirit that are being demonstrated and that we're going to see tonight as well in many different ways. We thank you for your presence here. There's a real thick presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are a holy God, and you are worthy of all of our praise and adoration. So, Lord, we just thank you that you brought us to this place tonight for your purpose. We know that you got something in mind, and there's something that you want to do with our wounded hearts. So we pray that you will have your way. And we just say it out loud today, that God, just have your way. Whatever you want to do, you have your way. Have your way, God. We are open before you. Whatever needs to be healed, whatever needs to be cleansed, whatever needs to be changed in us, whatever repentance that might need to come from us, God, whatever it is, we just pray, Lord, have your way. And we bind the enemy right now, because I know the enemy's going to do everything he can to try to disturb this place or try to get us to walk out or do something different or not want to be here or feel like this isn't for us. So we just bind in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We bind the enemy that he has no leverage. He has no power. He has no voice in this place. This is the house of the Lord. And we claim that, and we wait to hear from you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much, Stan and Crystal, for just for inviting us and just for trusting crazy people to come into your church. No, we're not that crazy. We were driving around this afternoon or this morning and this afternoon and looking at all the things that are done in this town through this place and through different ministries and just marveling and at what has been done over the years and what is continuing to be done. And so one of the things that we do, we really believe that every church doesn't have to do everything. Is that okay? Like, you know, churches can specialize in what they do, you know, and we have very good friends who specialize in various aspects of ministry, and they become expert at it, and I believe that's what you guys have done and are doing, and so in the areas that you work in, and as well as being an amazing community. See, no matter what our ministry focus is, we can, you know, we're called to be a community of people together and working together to make Jesus' name great. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things that we do and that we've done maybe dozens of times is this. We travel out to places, and I don't think this is even the furthest. We drove to Prince Rupert once. I think that's further yet. It's 900 miles. How far is Red Deer from? We're only 600, aren't we? How far are we? It's 1,100 miles? Kilometers, okay. Sorry, I'm a bit old school. I'm still thinking about miles. We drove 900 miles to Prince Rupert and did a four-day weekend up there with a whole bunch of carloads of people. And so this is just something that we love to do. We just love to go around and talk about God and how much he loves us. And just to, I hope this weekend, I hope you don't miss anything. I mean, you know, sometimes people say that, and you know, don't miss a session, you know, don't. But I hope you, you know, each one will kind of build on the other one, and so we'll kind of set a little bit of a base today, and then we'll, tomorrow morning, we'll go a little further with some things, and we are trusting, you know, we sang about, you know, that who heals all our diseases, you know, like we sang about the healer and so on. We really strongly believe that Jesus heals today, that the Father, you know, loves to pour out his love in the form of healing on his children. Because you know what? He doesn't like to see his children curled up in a fetal position on the floor. He likes to see his children like this, you know. Once I was this, but now I'm this. And so all of us are in the process, aren't we, of standing up and uncurling and unkinking and getting rid of, you know, it's not what happened to you that defines you. It's how much healing you're going to allow God to come into your life. Because whatever's happened to you, once you're healed, just becomes part of your story. It becomes part of the story of God's great grace. Isn't that awesome? I just about thought maybe I shouldn't preach right now, so because I'm going to do that in a bit. But we're going to do some prophetic stuff for a little bit. And I was just talking so I can give the musicians a bit of a rest here because they've been singing their hearts out. Thank you, guys, because they're going to participate here in a minute.
Hi, so I'm Pam, and thanks for having us here. And one of the things that our church is specializing in is next to the Father Heart message, which we feel is our life message to be taking to people, is we really believe in the prophetic. And I know that's a new word for some people, but what that means is we're training up people in the ability to get a word from God for somebody. And we're training them up in how to deliver it and how to deliver it in a way that's honoring, encouraging, and edifying. And so I have teams that I'm working with back home. And so our teams started praying for you guys last week. And so we emailed them on Tuesday and said, here's your assignment. For all those that are staying at home, you're to send me words for people in Red Deer. So we have about 8 words that we're going to be giving away, and this team is going to give words away before every session. They're asking the Lord to give them something for somebody here every session. Now, I will remind you that they're practicing. And that's the thing about in Hebrews, it says we get perfect by practicing. And so it's not a failure if they say, is anybody here named, you know, Clara? And nobody here is named Clara. It means, okay, they got the name wrong, but it doesn't mean the word is wrong. And so they're going to be giving away some very, they're practicing being specific this week. So can you give them grace for that? Okay, awesome. So team, come on up. They all have some words that they want to give away. Okay, John.
I have a word for Arlene, actually. No, I didn't get your name, but I saw you when we were doing worship. God showed me a picture of you with this gift in front of you, and it had this bow. And you were kind of just like tugging at the bow, and it was almost like you knew what was inside of that gift. So you're just tugging at it, and you weren't just ripping it open. You were slowly opening it. And he didn't. So I said, oh, well, that's cool. What does that mean, God? So he's showing me like he's giving you this gift, and you actually know what it is. He didn't tell me what it is. It could be something personal. It could be whatever. But and you know he's giving you that, and you've kind of just been playing with it a little bit, like, should I just So he just told me to tell you, just rip that open, because you already know he's giving you that. So rip that open and jump in, whatever that could be, if I'm right.
Hi, my name's Anna Marie. There's a real tenderness in this place from the Father's heart. I can feel it. The lady with the green shirt and the blonde hair, what's your name? Karina. I just saw a desert and a rock pouring, the rock split open, and water, fresh water just rushing out. And I think the Lord is saying that he's seen your heart and he's seen how much you love him, but it's been a bit of a rough journey. So I think times of refreshing are coming. Fresh water is going to, I see the cracks in the dirt, and the fresh water is just going to wash right over and fill all those cracks, and things are going to grow.
Hi, my name is Mike, and this is for Terry right up front here. Terry, I was watching you worship, and I just heard the Father say, and this is a thing that has come up occasionally, is just a phrase that the Father is not only just accepting your worship, but he sees you as a dear, dear daughter. And when I saw you as a very small child of whom he is particularly fond of. And that your worship is not just acceptable to him, but it is like sweet fruit to him. So just be encouraged by that.
I can't see you at the back. The lady, yeah, in the gray jacket. I can't see your name. Camila? Cecile, I'm sorry. The Bible talks about us like trees, like men are trees, right? And I think God is saying that he sees you as a bigger tree than you see yourself. And even though right now we're going into winter, I believe he's injecting springtime into you. So,
hi, my name is Mike. I don't have a specific name, but I have just a word for anybody who's been really struggling with joy this past week. And I just want to remind you of the promises that God has for you. And I just would like to read to you 1 Peter 1, verse 8. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So just want you to know that.
So who identifies with that word, that they've been struggling with joy this week? Can you stand up? That's it. I'm sorry to lack of joy, struggling with lack of joy. Well, joy. Okay. So you guys, this is what we do. If you are resonating with that word, see how a word can be for many people? You know, and that's the thing about the prophetic. It's not always just for one. So I want you guys, this is what we do in the river, and Stan kind of gave us permission to do our thing. So this is how the body now prays. So can you, everybody stretch their hand out to these ones that are standing up. So, Father, as the body ministers to the body, because you said if one hurts, we all hurt. And so, Father, we stand with these ones right now that are saying, I resonate with that word. And so, Father, you have said that your joy in us would be made complete. You said that your presence would bring joy to us. And so we ask for each one of these that have stood in identification and answering to that word, that your presence would be thicker now. Let your presence increase with them this week. We ask that your presence would go before them, and that from your presence, joy will come. And you'll notice that's not about their circumstances, Father. It's about you invading their space. And for some of you, I feel like he's saying he wants to invade your head space, because your head space has been in the wrong place. So we just release the joy of his presence over you. And Holy Spirit, that comes from you, to just make his presence around them increase. And so just receive that, you guys. Just take a deep breath. There you go. So be aware of his presence increasing this week. Good. Grab that word, and here's another.
I just have one for you over there. I think it's your name, Mike. Every time I look at you, I just kept hearing Davy Crockett. So I'm like, all right, God, what is that? I just feel like God wants to tell you that your whole life, you're a pioneer. And your whole life, he has been training you up for that, to pioneer things in this natural realm, you know, spiritual things in this natural realm. So you're gonna see, if you already do, you're going to be able to see not just the natural anymore, not just what's going on around you, but he's really going to increase your spiritual vision. So, and you're going to pioneer things in the natural that you can't even comprehend yet. And he's been training you your whole life for that. And I also got a word for just everybody. I just feel like a lot of you have been carrying a weight, could be your job, whatever, and you've just been feeling weighed down. And God's saying he's going to take that off this weekend, that you're going to be released from that weight. Because those circumstances aren't what's important and what matters, whatever they are in your life. It's all probably everybody differently. That he's taken all those weights off of all of you this weekend, and he's going to release you from that stuff. And we're going to get a lot of freedom here this weekend. So,
Awesome. We have one more word, okay? This is from one of the team that's in Abbotsford who's praying for you right now. They just emailed me this. I've got my emails dinging. If you hear me checking my phone, I'm not being disrespectful. It's just that they keep sending me more and more words as they're praying for you guys. And I think this one is also for, is it Karina? Okay, because they said to look for a lady with long blonde hair. She's a single mom. Are you a single mom? Okay, can you stand up? Okay, that says, look for a lady with long blonde hair. She's a single mom feeling overwhelmed right now and feeling frustrated about raising the kids on her own. But God says to tell her, you are not raising your children on your own. Whew, he has his hand on your life and on theirs. He is with you always, and he will help you guide your children through their life. And then they said, please let her know the person who got this word for her was raised by a single mom and is praying for her this weekend. So there you go. So that's what the prophetic is supposed to do. Isn't it a great feeling to know that the God of the universe, you know, he's got all this other stuff going on in the world, but he's got, you're such in his viewfinder that he would have people that don't even know you praying for you. That's how much God loves you guys. That's how much he knew exactly who was going to say yes to coming out this weekend. And that's the point of this weekend, is for you to grow in your understanding of how loved you are by God. So we're going to be releasing words before every session. And so just know that whether you get one or not, sometimes words are like what John had. They're for multiple people. Like, just feel to grab it. Even sometimes if you hear a word that is specifically directed at another person, do you know that if that word is resonating in you, you can say, I grab that one, Lord. I know that one's for me. So you can do that too. Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, Alf's going to be sharing tonight. I'll be sharing tomorrow morning. And we're going to be doing sessions on the different father types and how that affects your walk with God and how that affects how you think about yourself and do life. And then we're going to do a session on that mothering heart, that nurturing heart of God. That's the Holy Spirit, right? He's the nurturer and the comforter. And if we haven't had good relationships with our mothers, it can affect us how we respond to that part of the Godhead too. So lots of good stuff coming up. And again, I know you always hear everybody say don't miss it, but you know what? God brought these sessions here just for you. And we came saying even if only 5 people show up, we know that God picked those 5 people for us. And this team is amazing. So get to know them during the break. If you need prayer, we're going to be praying with you at the end of every session too. But if you need prayer in between time, you grab them. They've all been trained in prayer, so please don't ask them to do counseling with you. But if you have something specific that you would like them to pray with you about, especially stuff that's getting stirred up during this weekend, then that's what they're here for. And that's the love of God, when God puts it in strangers' hearts to drive 14 hours so that they can bless you. And that just shows you what God's doing in the body right now, right? So here's my amazing husband, and just get your hearts open to whatever God wants to just touch in you for healing and restoration and renewal. And don't be listening for somebody else, by the way. You know, sometimes you're going to hear this and you're going to go, oh, man, I wish my sister was here. Oh, man, I wish my brother was here. Oh, boy, my neighbor needed to hear that one. Well, that may be, and that may be the Holy Spirit saying invite them, but always ask the Lord first, why did that jump out at me? What are you saying to me? Because we want you to go home with everything that we can leave with you here and that the Holy Spirit wants to pour out.
Yeah, I could just agree with that. I think there's nothing, we've worshipped God, and everything we do is an act of worshiping, even listening as the word is being spoken, just the prophetic words and the word of God. But I just encourage you also, as part of your worship, to just say, you know, whatever the speaker says right now, Holy Spirit, I'm open to you. Can we say that? Can we trust? Yeah, let's say it out loud as if we mean it. Holy Spirit, I'm open to you. And I just encourage you to make up your mind, even if you just stay in your seat and you look sober and you don't react at all to anything anybody does, inside, just have your arms open. Just have your heart open. Because God wants to do something here with you. You're here. And we're here, and we're here to just to talk about the love of God and how much he loves us and how much he longs to just pour out his love into our lives and what a huge difference that will make to us. And if you have your heart open, if you have your heart, you know, ready to receive, then you will receive something this weekend. I promise, because it's not me and it's not us. It's God. So Holy Spirit, come. We just say, you know, you see the way that each heart is open today. If there's hearts here that have been hurt so badly that they can barely afford to open their heart a crack, Father, you are so amazingly powerful. You are so amazingly loving. You are so amazingly gentle that you will go in through that crack and you will touch hearts and you will cause us to open. You want us to bloom like a flower. You want us to open up and just be the kind of people and be the people that you made us to be. So we're open to you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're here to talk about this weekend about our God as a Father. And so we're going to be talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's not that, you know, we're going to emphasize only one aspect of the Trinity, but we are going to talk about God as a Father, and for a very specific reason, because I'm going to show you through Scripture tonight. We're going to set the foundation and set the tone for it, and then through Scripture that God is desiring to be known as a Father. God wants to be known as a Father. He's Father. It's not just that Jesus is the one. I mean, how many know, somebody made this statement once, that your concept of God is the most important thing about you. Did you know that? How you view yourself, how you view your situation, how you view your life, how you view your circumstances is greatly affected by your concept of God. So if you grew up like I did with the concept that God was out there as the big cop in the sky waiting to smack me every time I messed up, you see, then you will be hesitant to approach God unless you feel like you're getting it right. How many of you can always get it right? Like, oh, good, there's one. There's always, you know what, there's always one in the crowd. It's just amazing. I'm so blessed that you sat right there at the front so I can always keep an eye on you. But we can't get it right, and so always, and so we tend to shy away from God, and so we cut ourselves off, actually, from the source of love. God is love. And so we just, you know, it can be sort of an escalating thing where we isolate ourselves from God. So how many could say that they grew up with, you know, God being kind of the angry judge, or God being the judge, the lawgiver, the, you know, how many could say that that's how we grew up? Okay, so even though you may have begun to change your concept of God, being strictly that, you are very much influenced still today by your childhood concept of how you thought God was and the situation you grew up. You may have grown up in a church where that was preached every Sunday from the pulpit, or you may have grown up in no church whatsoever, but you just had this inbred sense that because you knew that somehow that you were damaged. I mean, everybody somehow knows inside that we're not perfect. You know, we shy away from God even if we, you know, don't really know much about him. But you see, so how many people like Jesus, though? Do we like Jesus? So do we think Jesus is the good guy? Because Jesus, look what he did. I mean, he cleaned up all the mess so that we could come to God. Well, how many know that Jesus, in his whole life, so if you like Jesus and you think he's the good guy, and you think God, somewhere in the back of your head, that he's maybe the angry judge and he's going to smack you and there's going to be a big weigh scale and you better hope there's more good stuff on this side than there is bad stuff on this side, because, you know, you'd hate to get pitchforked out that way, right? So you're kind of living in almost in terror of ever God ever showing up, because it just could be it for you, right? So, but how many know that Jesus is actually the perfect representation of the Father? How many know that the Bible teaches us very clearly in John and in other places that Jesus never did one thing of his own initiative? Did you know that?
It says, I cannot do anything of my own initiative, but what I see my Father doing, that's what I do. And he says, what I hear my Father saying, that's what I say. He tells me what to say and how to say it. It says in John 12, in the New Living. And so Jesus did how much of his own on his own initiative? Nothing. So he got up every morning and went, Father, what do you want to do today? And he said, well, today, son, you're going to walk on water and scare the daylights out of some disciples, but it's going to be all fun because one of them is going to take a few steps, and it's going to be, and he goes, wow, what a great adventure. See, he didn't wake up in the morning and decide what to do. He woke up in the morning and said, Father, what would you like me to do today? You see, a lot of us grew up that Jesus is the good guy. And Father's angry with us because we're sinful. But Jesus came and he dealt with the sin problem so that God could grudgingly accept us. You see, but God is tired. How many people like to be misrepresented? How many people, how many people like false things to be spread about you, about your, do you like to be misrepresented? No, nobody does. Well, I tell you what. The Father doesn't like to be misrepresented either. And so all the way through the Old Testament, you see, Jesus said in John 17, 23 or 24, somebody can look it up if you want, or you can take my word for it. I'm a pastor, so, come on. I study these things. he said in there, and by the way, this is Jesus, right? He's God, right? But he's praying. So Jesus is praying to the Father, right? So how many could say that if Jesus said it, it's true, right? So if Jesus was ever going to say something true, he would, it would be in a prayer to his Father. Well, it says in John 17 at the end of his prayer, he says, Father, the world has never known you, but I have shown you. I have shown them who you are and what you do. And so we understand now that Jesus didn't just come to pay the price at the end, or he could have appeared in a blip, spent 3 days, trial, execution, 3 days, rose up, go to heaven. Could have done that, and that would have satisfied that would have done that part. And some of us think that's all Jesus did, but you see, Jesus lived 33 and some years on the earth for 3 different reasons. And yes, he did pay the price at the end. And I hope I'm not messing with your theology, because if I am, well, you just bear with it, okay? Because I think it'll make sense later. Jesus came to represent the Father to us, okay? The Father said, and this is part of the plan all the way along before time ever began, God knew what was going to happen. He knew what he would do about it. And they decided that the best way to actually show who God really is was to send one of them, Jesus, to come down, become a man, and to do things in the way, not only the things he did, but how he did them. How many know you could do a word study and look up this phrase, and Jesus was moved with compassion? The widow who had one and only one son. And here they are in funeral procession, and their one son is being here. Her one son is being carried. How many have gone through, tragedy and suffering and so on, and know what that's like? And here's Jesus, and he's going along with his disciples, and it says, and Jesus saw this, and he was moved with compassion, and he went over, and I bet he saw a lot of funerals, because there was a lot of population there, and there was, people didn't even live as long as they do now and so on. And, but the things that are, it probably wasn't the only dead person he saw. Well, there was Lazarus too. But, here's this funeral. And just, he didn't even, though, of his own initiative. Get it? I'm putting this together for a reason. He didn't say, Father, let me go. Or, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. No, he didn't. You know why? Because Philippians 2 teaches us that he laid all the prerogatives of being God aside. He never ceased to be God. He's fully God and fully man. I'm going to get off the strictly theological stuff in a minute here, but he He laid down the power. He didn't function in the power of God. He was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he clearly heard his father. And his father said at that moment, "Son, go over. We're going to raise that boy today." And he went over and he did. And so everything he did is an expression of the Father, even being moved with compassion. How many know that it's got to mess with you when, if you think God is angry judge? You could see a funeral procession and you could say, kid was probably a delinquent, you know, probably caused his mother all kinds of grief, probably got what he deserved, you know, like if you're coming at it from that perspective, you're starting to see what I mean about your concept of God colors everything about your life. It's the most important thing about you. And so when we see Jesus, we see the Father. He said that in John 14. Come on, you guys. How long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I represent the Father. All of this stuff is the Father. And it blows your mind when you think that the Father, the King, the Creator, the Originator, the you know, there's nothing bigger by a long shot, you know. He, actually, in chapter 13 of John, washed his disciples' feet. Is that, if he did nothing of his own initiative, then that wasn't only Jesus doing that. That was Father saying, "Son, let's do this. Let's show them what the kingdom of God is like. Let's show them that, you know, we are kind and gentle and we're not afraid. We're not afraid of dirty jobs. Dirty situations don't scare us one bit. Muddy, smelly feet, so what? Let's do it." And I think it blew the disciples' minds. Poor Peter, you know. He's going, "Oh, no, you can't wash my feet." And, you know the story. How'd they get off on that? Anyway, page one. I want to just say something else to you before we read a bunch of scriptures, too, is that in the Bible, when it's talking, in the New Testament, when it's talking about the three people of the Godhead, when it says, when the writer means for us to understand that it's the Holy Spirit, what does he say? The Holy Spirit, okay? When he wants us to know that he's talking about Jesus, what does it say? Like, what's written? Jesus, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ, you know, the Anointed One, in different translations and so on. When the word in the New Testament is strictly God, it is usually, almost entirely, talking about Father. And that does make a difference. I'm going to read you some scriptures on that in just a bit. So, Father, we're talking about, our theme is fathering this weekend and the Father heart of God and how much God loves us as a father. So, when we think of a father, we think of origins and we think of three things that a father is designed to give us, like even us with our fathering. And there's the three things are identity, destiny, and inheritance. The questions are, who am I? Like the child is born, and there's every person who's ever been born has a question in their heart, and that's, who am I? And who's going to look after me? And who loves me? And why am I here? What am I doing here? Everybody wrestles with, to some degree, with those things, some throughout our whole life, and never, you know, sadly, never really do find it. But you see, God is the one who wants to bring us into a place where he tells us who we are to him and who he is to us. And 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are." So you see, first and foremost, God wants you to know that you are his child. And of course, yeah, we know that. Well, you know, we're children of God. Yeah, we give our lives to Jesus. We're children of God. We're going to unpack a little bit more. What does that actually mean? And what are the implications of that for our life? Secondly, destiny. He gives identity, then destiny. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Wait a minute. Paul's just been talking about in Ephesians 2, for you, but you who were dead in your trespasses and sins and the wicked ways of the world, that when you were under the prince of the power that rules this world and you engaged in all these deeds and blah, 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 but you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, has raised you up and given you life and so on. And then it says, and now it says, and you are God's masterpiece. How many here, just for fun, because you haven't moved for a little while, just stand up for a second. Just stand up and say something with me. Just say, I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. You know what? Whether you said it and you're just going, oh, man, the guy said it, and it's probably everybody's watching, I better say along with everyone else. Whether you believe that or not, God does. Let's say it again. I am God's masterpiece. Okay, let's sit down. What is a masterpiece? Masterpiece is, how many people have ever been to an art gallery? Okay, so you know that masterpieces, what is considered a masterpiece, is all over the scale, isn't it? Like some of them are, like you could think, that looks, is that a photograph, you know, or something? Like it's just real, you know, realism. Then there's all these different kinds of art. And so, you know, these people who sell their paintings for millions of dollars and other people look at them and go, what in the heck is that? Like, no idea. Like, masterpieces are they're not all the same is the point. But they're masterpieces because of the detail and the style and the way that the artist has expressed his soul on the canvas and so on, right? And so this is what God means. Do we all look the same? Do we all have the same kind of a life? Do we all have the same experiences? There isn't any of us who have exactly the same set of experiences. But God, you see, he wants to say this about you. I said this at the beginning. He wants to take you from curled up on the floor. And you know what? I want to give you a news flash. You know that there's people who think when I say that, you know, curled up in fetal position on the floor, they say, yeah, I know a few people like that. I want you to know something. There's people running all over the city of Red Deer who look like they've got it all together, and inside they're curled up on the floor because they're hurt and they're wounded and bad things have happened, and they've learned to cope and put a tie on and look together and look professional and go and do a job, but they're broken inside. And you know what? God's not happy that they're broken. You see, God came to seek and to save that which is lost. God came to fix what was broken. The gospel is good news. It's all good news. You know, Isaiah 61, which Luke 4, Jesus quotes as he stands up and, you know, in the synagogue and reads from Isaiah, and he says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. To set captives free, to take chains off people who are chained up, to open prison doors and set captives free, to take people who are bound up in depression and put, you know, joy on them and put praise on them, because he doesn't get any glory from people who are on the, you know, curled up on the floor on the ground for their whole lives. He gets glory, Isaiah says, so that they will be oak trees of righteousness that God planted, so that he gets the glory. So that when somebody says, what's so different about you? Last year when I saw you, you were kind of a miserable, you know, son of a gun, you know, and you're just always critical and, you know, whatever, and had never really had a good thing to say, and something's changed. What is that? And you can say, I've got a Father in heaven who loves me. You know, I was critical and mean and hurtful because I had a lot of really wounds, deep wounds and pain inside. But you know what? The good news is that he came to heal those things. It says, you know, that the lame would be healed, that the blind man can see. You know, this is the gospel. I want you to know something. If you just know, we come across this quite often. Like, we're in the Bible Belt. I don't know. Is this a Bible Belt, too? A lot of churches. We come from the Bible Belt in Abbotsford, and there's a lot of people in Abbotsford, I've discovered, who know everything about the Scriptures. They've been Sunday school. They can rattle off the stories, you know, and they know the Scriptures a little bit, and they've heard a couple thousand sermons at least, probably. And the thing is, if you know them, and you see their lives and you watch them, not that we're judging people, but you just see that really they haven't encountered the gospel yet, because they are still chained up. They are still brokenhearted. He came to heal broken hearts. He's not happy that you're brokenhearted. He doesn't want you to stay brokenhearted. Wherever you are today, super good. It's a good place to start, but he doesn't want you to stay there, because he's a loving father, and he loves like the best part of us that are parents, the best part of our parental heart of love is for our kids to not have to suffer, our kids not to have to go through hard stuff. We want to help our kids. You see, that's part of the nature of God in us. God is a father. He doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want to drag you through the mud all your life and just to see how much you can take before you snap, you know? That's not him. That's the enemy. And he keeps on promoting this false concept of God and this misrepresentation of God to keep you away from him. I tell you what, it hasn't changed since the garden. The devil says to Eve, did God really say that? God's holding out on you. If you just do this little thing that God said not to do, you'll be just like God. Well, I could go away off on a sidetrack there, but we won't. But the thing is, his tactic hasn't changed. He says, God is not really good. God doesn't have your best interest. You better pull back. Don't get close to God. He'll smack you. And so, wow, we are God's masterpiece. And God wants us to figure out and to find out in our lifetime what he bought and paid for. Is there any Mennonites in this room? Good, I'm the only one. I can poke fun at Mennonites. I'm a Mennonite. Thank you, but I got saved after that. No, I'm just kidding. Yay, there is one. All right. All right. My mom was born in Russia, so we're Russian Mennonites too. Doesn't make me a bad guy, does it? Sorry. Where was I? What was I saying? I was Mennonite. Yes, I'm a Mennonite. And I don't know, apparently you know nothing about Mennonites, so that's good, I can tell you. But Dutch people are kind of like this too, truth be told. Are there any Dutch people in here? Dutch people, all right. I see a few tentative fingers going up. What's he going to say? I'm not sure I want to own this. Well, Mennonites are cheap a little bit. And they usually are good hard workers. I said there's only me. Oh, sorry, and you. But so I can poke fun. But no, but the point I'm trying to make is Jesus bought and paid for a whole lot. And I want him to get his money's worth. A Mennonite wants to get his money's worth. You buy something, you want all of it. You don't want some of it. Like if you buy something online or something and it shows up at your door and it's not what advertised, well, I'm on the internet, I'm on the phone. I paid for this. You better get the rest of that stuff over here. So Jesus paid a phenomenal price, an incredible price, for us to be free, for us to be able to come to the Father. And so I'm a advocate for getting your money's worth. I'm jealous for Jesus to get his money's worth out of what he did. Because you know what? First John 2 says, Jesus died for this, for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He paid for everybody's sins, whether they will repent or not. Does that mean everybody's sins are you know, dealt with and we're all going to heaven? No, because he doesn't remove the choice from us. We get to choose. Are we going to come and accept what Jesus did and apply it to our own lives and accept that forgiveness? But he actually paid for the whole deal. So I want to see as many people as possible, you know, take advantage of what's already there. It's just sitting there waiting for us to embrace it and to take a hold of it. But it's more than getting your sins saved so you can go to heaven when you die. Some people think that's all there is to Christianity. That's what I thought for a long time. So we just, you know, hurried up and, you know, in an evangelistic way. And I love, I'm not an evangelist, but I love, I'm a kind of an evangelist to Christians, actually, is how I it's developed. But, you know, I love evangelism, and I love bringing people to pray to accept Jesus. Absolutely. There's no other door. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. And that's through Jesus. And every knee will bow, every tongue, you know, it's just like that's without a doubt. But that's not the end of it. Because John 1:12 says, but as many as believe in Jesus, to them he gave the power or the authority to become children of God. And so become is a very specific word there. Become speaks of a process. And so you get saved, you're forgiven. You're set free from that burden that God is going to smack you when you die, you know, sort of thing. Like you're I don't know, I don't want to belittle it even, but just like your insurance, you know, is paid up. You know, you're covered. You are covered because you've embraced Jesus. You've made him Lord of your life. Now you have the authority, the right to become a child of God. And to, as you have invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now don't get lost here, but listen, and I'll explain more as we go through the weekend. Just as you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can ask God to be your Father. God, will you father me? And so the best part that we can ever imagine, some of us, we're going to deal with that tomorrow morning, about blockages to us embracing Father. Some of us have such deep hurts and wounds associated with the word Father. You know, and it's like, so we see that word or that concept even through a lens. Some of us are parenting out of sort of a judgment against our own father. You don't have to put up your hands. I'll put up mine. I made a vow that I would never parent the way I was parented. I don't know how many of you did that, but it's almost like you end up. I found I ended up doing things the way my father did in our home when our children were young. And my father didn't do anything terrible. I'm going to tell a bit more of my story tomorrow night, but still, he did not accurately represent the Father in all ways to me, the Father who is in heaven. So our preconceptions of our Father from our own experience keeps us away from God as being our Father. Again, we love Jesus because he died to save us from our sins. Who doesn't love that? You know, that's awesome. Jesus is awesome. Remember, every single thing he did was actually what the Father, you know, was the Father's plan. He did it. The Father was actually doing it through Jesus. And so all of us have some kind of a father wound, and we can struggle to really see God as our Father. Jesus we get, but the Father we're afraid of. And that may not be you. You may not think, you may be embracing God as your Father. And so that's phenomenal. I love that because that's really where it's at. But I just encourage you to be open this weekend to go further. How many know that there's always more? You could live to be 99 and still be learning and growing. And you know, learning more about, we're going to spend eternity learning about our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So there's so much that we don't get, and that we can always continue to grow. So just keep yourself open so that you can actually grow through this weekend as well in this revelation. So it really is a revelation. You can spill a whole bunch of information about that. We can say, God is a Father, God is a Father, God is a Father. Let's all repeat that several times, and then we'll understand that God is a Father. No, it's not the way it works. That's not the way spiritual truth is actually comes into our life. Hearing about it is only the first step, but we can even understand the concept, but until we experience it, you see, because Christianity is not an understanding. Christianity is an experience. If you're not experiencing God, if you're not like, different times during your life having moments where you go, it could be when someone's preaching, it could be during worship, it could be on your job, it could be anywhere. And suddenly, you just know that God said something to you, and it's like, ah, wow. That's a revelation. I'm going to share a few of them that happened to me that sort of illustrate what I'm talking about. When I was 12, my dad died. And I'll talk more about that later. But when I was 14, my grandfather died, and my grandfather took over from my dad for those couple years. in a way, and just became the man that I looked up to, right? And I was the only boy in the family among a lot of girls. And, of course, when my dad died, my mom was by herself as well. So house full of girls, and I needed a father figure, and so my grandfather was it. And as soon as my dad died, this will age me a little bit, but we were coming out of the 60s, and, you know, he died in 68, so 60s, you know, we're kind of in the backwoods, like Oliver. Anybody know where that is? Oliver and Osuyas, you know, Kelowna, Penticton, all that. So we're kind of in the backwoods, but we're a few years behind the trends, but we were still had more or less had brush cuts, you know, in the 60s. Anybody else? So, but long hair was starting to come in, you know, the Beatles and all this stuff, and long hair was starting to come in. And so as soon as my dad died, that was it. Rules were off. You know, I'd been begging my dad, can I please not get a brush cut? Can I please grow my hair a little bit, you know, just a little bit? No. So anyway, I started to grow my hair. And being from a good Mennonite family and a good Mennonite church, everybody in the church, you know, was after my mom now that my dad was gone. Mary, you can't let your son have long hair like that. Like, that's, you know, that's just wrong. It's sinful. You just got to do something about that. So she was after me. And so I remember this one particular day taking my grandfather was blind. And so we used to drive him everywhere he needed to go. And then we'd drop him off. And my grandmother was there too. So she would look after him, but she couldn't drive. So we're dropping them off at their house. And I'm opening up the door for him and making sure they get inside and everything before we take off. And I just had a thought. And I just said, Grandpa, is my hair too long? And I didn't have it tied back. I just had it kind of like this length at the time. And he's like a staunch conservative, dyed-in-the-wool, whatever dyed-in-the-wool means, but a dyed-in-the-wool Mennonite, you know, and very conservative. But he couldn't see, of course. He'd heard rumors that I had long hair. So I remember him reaching over, put his hand on my shoulder, and he grabs back of my head, and he grabs my hair, and he takes a great big fistful, and he shakes my head like this, and he goes, no, that's not too long. I just about fell over. I fully expected the one person I still looked up to as a man in my life to criticize or something, and he just said that, and it stuck with me. And even though my life from then, you know, went into quite a serious dive and quite a, you know, a long period of rebellion and so on, when I'm 40 years old and I'm beginning to come into the revelation that God was my father and God, you know, he was the father I'd always needed and wanted and been searching for, and there he had been all along. And one of these days I'm just not even really focusing on God that much, and suddenly that memory came into my brain. And I said, God, what's that about? And he said, you know, when your grandfather said that, that was me. He was speaking for me. I've always been your father. You haven't been aware of it, but I've never left you for a second. And your hair's not too long. In fact, grow it out, because that'll make you remember that I love you exactly the way you are. And so after 20 years of being this good conservative guy, after this and then come back up and then, you know, and no facial hair was of the devil too, you know, so we had to get rid of all that and went to this other church. And so after, you know, I'm 40 years old now, and God says to me, you should grow your hair long, because I'm telling you what, it's our little sign that I love you. And every day when you comb your hair out, like, I envy some of you guys. Like, you just get up out of bed in the morning, and nobody can tell if you combed your hair or not. Some guys nowadays, you know, they work really hard at making their hair look like it's uncombed. Probably would be better if they went out with bedhead, but whatever, you know. I have a son, too, who's going a little bit bald, so he just shaved the whole thing off. He shaves it like it's, wow. I always threaten my kids, I'm going to shave my head one of these days. And they say, don't you dare, we wouldn't even know who you are, you know. But anyways, I probably won't. But no, God gave me a sign like that, and it's like a revelation. I burst into tears. I cried for so long, and I can't remember if that was the first time or not, but I hadn't cried in ages, probably in decades, you know. And it was a revelation that God actually loves me. He actually has been there. He's been waiting for me to realize that he's my father. And I don't have to look. I don't have to you know, suck affection out of other men, or, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, try to get their approval. I don't have to perform for anybody's approval anymore. It's, you know how freeing that is? That was a chain around my ankles. That was hindering me. That was one of those chains Isaiah 61 talks about that God wants to cut off so that we can be free. When you're free of the having to perform, it's incredible. I recommend you try it. But it was a revelation moment, and revelations are what changes your life. Information by itself, it's good. Information's good. Information makes you aware that there's an experience to be had that maybe you can look forward to. And some of you can look forward to things like that happening to you this weekend. And so that's what I'm saying. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. Revelations. Wow. I just want to look at a couple of words. Oh, we're going to skip that part. Don't mind me. So, I spoke to you about it in concept. I want to read you some scriptures now about Jesus representing the Father. So, Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3 tells us that God spoke to his people over many, you know, over many ages, over many decades and centuries. God spoke to his people through various means. But in this day now, God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. And then it says, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's nature. Another translation says, this Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. So remember how I told you how God is sick of being misrepresented? God just decided now's the time. You know, I don't know why he waited, you know, from Adam to Jesus. I don't know why he didn't wait until now when there's an internet and we could go worldwide in seconds, you know? I don't know, but he decided when the time was perfectly right, he sent Jesus into the world to perfectly represent who he is. And so he decided that the best way to, Jesus decided and the Father decided together that he would just, every single thing that he did would be an illustration of the Father. So nobody could doubt. You see, the disciples didn't really get it. The disciples, God bless them, you know. There's 12 guys who followed him around for 3.5 years, right? Mostly, most of that. And listened to him teach and watched him heal and watched him walk on water and calm storms and do all these crazy things that nobody had ever done before. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, the Messiah is going to liberate us politically from the Roman oppression. They saw their physical current situation, their circumstance, as the reason for the Messiah coming. And in Acts 1, it says that, you know, they question him after he's risen from the, you know, resurrected from the dead. I mean, talk about miracles, you know. So here, they've saw him get crucified. Come on. You know, and so here, so they ask him, so is now the time that you're going to kick out the Romans and restore Israel to, you know, Jewish rule or whatever? And he says, oh, man. I can just imagine him thinking, oh, dear, you know, Holy Spirit's going to come in a while. And just like I promised, the Holy Spirit's going to show them. He's going to lead them into all truth. He's going to teach them everything that I've taught. And Jesus even said, here's why you have to stay open to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, there's so many things I want to tell you, but, you know, it's in the last day or so of his life, from John, you know, 13 to the end. And he says, there's so many things I want to tell you, but there isn't time. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you and lead you and direct you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, he doesn't act on his own initiative either. The Holy Spirit takes what I've taught and reminds you of it, clues you into what it actually means. He, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of the Father. He actually will show you what the Father is thinking. He'll tell you. He'll guide you. They're not three individual, they're tight, you know. They're a trinity, they're inseparable. And so they all support and strengthen each other and the Father's message. So the Holy Spirit, in Romans 5, verse 5, it says, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What does the Holy Spirit do? What is he supposed to do? Comfort, teach, instruct, convicts the world. Thank God that's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Is that? Yeah. Yep. Tells us what the Father's thinking, like he's just... Is that? Yeah. And so, but glorifies the Father. Paul says, first time he mentions the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans, when he's going through a lot of theology to a church that he's never been at, the church in Rome. First time he mentions the Holy Spirit, this is what he says about him. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Ooh. I thought it was just about speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and crazy stuff, you know, that fun stuff, which it is. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us to pour the love of the Father into our hearts. Because you know what heals? Somebody shouting over you in tongues doesn't heal you. Somebody, you know, being terribly anointed and, you know, we like to say, like, sparks come off his fingertips, you know. That's not what heals you. It's actually what actually heals you, what actually brings lasting healing into your life is love. The love of God. Not love that, you know, even that we can have among ourselves unless we're loving each other with the love of God. But it's the love of God poured into your life is what will heal you. Nothing else, really. Everything else is a Band-Aid. And there's nothing wrong with Band-Aids. Sometimes they're useful. But really what we want to do is get to the core. We don't want to keep on having the same issue, do we? Do we want to keep having the same issue? No. We want it to be healed. And so we need to let the Holy Spirit pour the love of God into our hearts. And so Hebrews goes on to say, Jesus, you know, suffered death for us, Hebrews 2, and tasted death for everyone. He chose to bring many children into glory. I'm just paraphrasing to get through. Here's an interesting one. In Hebrews 2, it says, so now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. That's quite something. Jesus says that if you belong to Jesus, you and him have the same Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the way. What's the destination? No one gets to the Father. Jesus is, you know, the name above all names. Jesus is, because he did what he did, the Father has highly honored him above everybody else, and there is nothing, you know, whew, not belittling anything there. But Jesus came to provide a way to get God's children back to the Father, those who would come. He says, go out there and do that. Pave the way. Make the way open so that people can come back into relationship with the Father. First John. John is written by the Apostle John, books of the Gospel and the epistles of John, and then the book of Revelations. And in the book of First John, in the letter he wrote, that's what we call First John, he tells us in several different ways that the early church, how many know that it would be good to be like the early church? You know, do we agree that the early church had something, you know, that, you know, we wish we could duplicate? So the first thing I want to say is, you know, God moved by the Holy Spirit 30 years ago, but I'm not going to try to reproduce that because God is incredibly creative. He's never run out of ideas yet, and I believe what he wants to do today will have the same flavor and the same nature and the same personality of God, but it may look different. And you know what has happened in if you study revivals and the history of revivals, God moves and the revival breaks out and then it solidifies and then revival breaks out over here and this revival persecutes that one over and over and over again because they think they had it all and they don't want the Holy Spirit to move. If the Holy Spirit's going to move anywhere, it's going to be here. Well, we always say in our, I mean, I would love it the Holy Spirit broke out in bigger ways than we've ever seen in our church. But you know what? I don't care. I hope he breaks out in the Mennonite church. I hope that everybody's flocking to, I don't care, as long as God moves in our city. As long as people get saved, as long as people get, born into the family and figure out, this amazing, gospel that we have, that's good news. But I want to tell you something. Why I said that was because some people are really focused on trying to do things exactly the way the early church did, and so far as, doctrine and what they believed, of course. But so I just want to tell you how 1 John tells us that the early church was. And he wrote this fairly close to the end of the first century, so he was a pretty old man. But he says in 1 John 1:3, he says, What we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So all of you who put your hands up at the beginning that were raised in the concept or still have some, little or big part of your mind or soul or whatever is tied up with thinking God is angry judge and he's going to smite me, but Jesus will save me if I'm good enough or whatever, what you need to know is that the early church, it was common. They knew how to have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This was not something new. 2:13 says, and a second reminder, dear children, you know the Father from personal experience. Not just, this church or this denomination or this whatever, has some understanding. No, you personally. He's talking to his church, the church that he pastored and so on. And he goes on and on. I've written to you who are God's children, 2:14, because you know the Father. Is John going to minimize Jesus? No, that's not his goal. But he's just saying this is how the church is. This is how the church is, and this is how the church should be. We are also to have relationship with the Father. 2:25 says, so you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. 2:29, since we know Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do right are God's children. I read chapter 3, verse 1 already, but it's so cool, I'll read it again. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God, and that's who we really are. Verse 9 and 10, and here's where, remember I said when it says God, it generally means, almost 100% means Father. And this is one of the places where that happens, and you'll see it as we read it. It says God, verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world. So who's the God? He's the Father. So Father showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, that through him we might have eternal life. And this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The Father loved us and sent his Son to be a sacrifice to take away our sins. Chapter 4, verse 15. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. You see, the normal Christian life is to participate continuously in an intimate relationship with God. If you have moments where you feel like you have an intimate relationship with God, awesome. Grab those moments. Grab those and cultivate that. How did that happen? How did that come about? Cultivate that, because you know what? It's not something that anyone can lay hands on you and suddenly, you're completely distracted with everything and you come to church on Sunday and, oh, now I feel like I'm close to God. And then you go back out for, it doesn't go from that to continuously having an intimate relationship with God, with your Father. It grows on you. And so, this is the good news, is that wherever we're at, God wants to take us further. And so, intimate relationship. And then it says in verse 16, we know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from the Father. Have we? I often say a lot of people have had moments like I've had, like I explained to you, and I've had, a few others about the hair thing, but it wasn't all about, that was the only one about the hair. But, have had moments where we've, that was God. He was just speaking. That was a revelation right into my life. A lot of people have had those, but they haven't embraced them. How do you embrace something like that? Well, there's several ways you can do it. You can, You can take that thing and you can remember it and you can tell people testimony. You can write it down. You can journal it. You can you know, do whatever it takes to remember that, to go back to that spot. You know how many times, every time I tell that story, I just about burst into tears because it's so real to me every time I retell it. And so retelling something, just sharing with your friend or your neighbor or the person sitting beside you in church, you wouldn't believe what God said to me this week. You know, embracing it is it cements it into your life. And you begin to find that it's happening more and more and more. And you begin to get more of these encounters. The more you share something, it's a principle in the Bible, the more you share something, the more God will pour in. We always tell people when we're going out on these trips, pour out everything you got. Give it everything you got. You know what? God's got lots. You know, he's not going to run out. Good grief. Sometimes I'm preaching away and I have a brilliant thought. And I thought, oh, I'm going to say that as soon as I'm done this sentence. And as soon as I'm done this sentence, I've forgotten it. And I go, oh, God, what was that thought? And he goes, don't worry, son. I got lots. I'll give you another one. Happens to me driving down the freeway sometime and I go, oh, I should pull over. Where I could get off the road. Oh, it's gone. Oh, well, you've got lots. I'll just carry on. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. It's okay. So, are you getting the point? 1 John 5, verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. What did the Son of God come to do? Give us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now, when is now? Now, not when we get to heaven, then too, it will be way cooler then. But now, it says, we can live in fellowship with the true God, our Father, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God. He is eternal life. Romans 5:11, now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with our Father because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Yeah, that's pretty cool. We're here to tell you that wherever you are in your Christian walk, wherever you, whatever you have experienced, be it, you know, you're just, this is just the start for you, or you've been walking with God for many years, I want you to know something. There's more. There's more for you to experience. There's more for you to, like, understand. Preaching is just to give understanding, to give people, what my job is to give you hope that there's more, that God is good, that if you come to him, you know, Jesus said, how many of you, if your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone, you know, and so on and so on. And then he goes, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? So I'm going to invite you to extravagantly ask this weekend because your Father is a good Father. We sang the song. He's a good, good Father. That's who he is. Jesus said so. He's a good Father. If you ask him for something good, like come and be more real to me, come and into that wounded part of my life because I don't want to live as that wounded person anymore. I don't want to be hanging my head. I don't want to, whenever I see a person, you know, or a situation, I don't want to cringe inside even if I'm tough outside, you know. We're such good actors, aren't we? God wants you to live your life in such a way that you don't have to act. You can just be. Wouldn't that be cool? If you could just be yourself, and that's actually what God wants. Another thing he showed me once, I was always trying to be like somebody else, you know, that I looked up to. And I thought, well, that's a godly thing to do, you know. And so far as you know, his spirituality or his walk with God or whatever, that's one thing. But I would want to, you know, be like other people and be seen to be like them or so on. And God said, you know what, you're really insulting me. And I went, what? He said, it's an insult to the maker, an insult to the maker, for you to be somebody else other than who I made you to be. I made you incredibly unique. I put gifts in you. I put talents in you. I put a personality in you that can reach people that nobody else can reach. You can touch people's hearts. The things you went through, the hard stuff that you've gone through that you've brought to me that I've healed you from, So you're not so grumpy anymore? I know it's hard to believe. I used to be grumpy. I was grumpy once. Right, Ham? Yeah. I'm still grumpy once in a while. Yep. But it's less. And you see, that's where God has taken us to. A good friend of mine once said, it's kind of like a teeter-totter. You know, if you just get 51% sort of over the tipping point, and you turn it, and it gets easier. You're walking up, you're walking up, you're walking up. You're getting more filled with the love of God. You're letting God heal you. You're beginning to walk in His acceptance. You know what? You can get up in the morning and stand on your front step if you can take the cold out here. You know, we just stand under a cover so we don't get rained on. But you can stand on your front step and say, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the King of the universe. So what could possibly happen? What could possibly go wrong? Whatever goes wrong, my Father knew this day before I was born, and He's going to carry me through it. He's going to help me if I listen to Him, if I'm open to Him. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to pray and invite you. I'm going to invite you to ask God extravagantly, because He's a good, good Father. And I don't know if, do you want to come and lead us in prayer? The basic point is you're here this weekend. God knew you were going to be here this weekend. He knew what I was going to talk about. He knew where you are. You know that He knows exactly where you are right at this second. He knows that you're on the brink of taking ground or staying exactly the same way as you are in areas that where you don't really like, you know. But He's always there in any time, but it's especially in times like this when the body is gathered together and there's a level of faith and the word's been read over you and so on, and there's a attitude of faith in the air. There's always a time when you can go and take some ground with God. And so I'm just going to invite you, whatever the issue of your heart is, whatever you walked in with today, even if, like, especially surely if it's physical healing, we'd love to pray for you. God is a God who works miracles physically, emotionally, mentally, and most of all spiritually. Because you know what? Physical healing is great, but spiritual healing, emotional healing, just sets you free in a whole way that nothing else can. Yeah, thank you, God.
Okay, why don't we stand? And team, can I get you to come up? Just about three here and three over there. So these guys are going to be here to pray with you. And I'm sorry that we don't have more women available, but this is the team God picked for you. So you just need to be okay. So why don't we just close our eyes? Father, tonight was about You establishing in our hearts that You want to father us. And some of us haven't been fathered in a very long time. And some of us were never fathered by our fathers. But Lord, tonight we want to take that step and say, I invite You to father me. I give You permission to father me. I give myself permission to take that step closer to You. Father, I give You permission to open my heart just with a hunger for more of You. I give You permission, Holy Spirit, to stir up any hunger and desire to be fathered that I have pushed away because of my own independence, because of my fear, because of judgments, because of earthly fathers. But I give You permission tonight, Holy Spirit, to remind me, I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am Your masterpiece, and You want to get Your money's worth out of the amazing gift of salvation that Your Son has brought into my life. And I want to give You that money's worth by saying, this weekend is about taking a deeper step into actually understanding the way that Jesus opened up for me. So I want you just to invite the Holy Spirit. If that's you, you just say yes in your heart to him for that. And even if you're saying, Father, I don't even understand half of what these guys are saying, but I know that there's something more, then that's the same prayer for you. Just open yourself up to saying, God, I'm willing to know more. I'm willing to experience more. So I just feel like right now, I just feel like, can you guys just open up your hands? I just, when I was praying over you, I just feel like I can just see Jesus walking around through you. And there's different ones he just wants to touch right now. Just let him come. Just be aware. You might suddenly feel something in your heart, just a quickening. You might actually feel something on your body, on your shoulder, on your head. That's him saying, this is your weekend. I'm here with you. I've made the way to the Father for you. So Jesus, we thank you right now. Thank you that you so loved the Father, that you in turn so loved us because you knew his heart for us, that since the garden he's been waiting to be reunited with us. So just come and keep touching us. We just give you any fear and any reservations and any worry that you won't come, we give that to you too. Any fear that you won't touch me, Father, I give that to you right now. And we just welcome you. Just tell him that. Say, I just welcome you. Tell him that you won't push his touch away. Tell him he has permission to just invade your space. Just give him that permission. Tell him he has permission to show you some things you haven't known before. Just take a really deep breath. Just breathe in that presence and that peace. Doesn't that feel good? That's him just laying a real good foundation. So we bless you to do a work all weekend. Don't stop on us. But just keep our hearts open to the work that you want to do in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want prayer before you go, as Alpha said, if you have physical healing that you need, we're happy to pray with you. But if you also just want to agree with somebody, I want you to pray with me that my heart will stay open to what the Father wants to do for me this weekend. If you know that you just need that little extra, you know how sometimes you just need to go up to somebody else and say, I know I need this. Just pray for me that I'll get it. If you need that prayer before you go, please come and make use of these guys. They want to pray for you. They want to pour out for you. So God bless you guys. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we're going to start on father types and just that nurturing heart of God. So let us pour into you. If Alf said something tonight that sparked something in you, come forward too and we'll pray with you about that. So God bless you guys. Do you have some music we can put on just as we're praying for these guys? Thank you. So God bless you guys. Why don't you hug somebody too and tell them that they're going to grow in the Father's love this weekend? And come for prayer before you leave.